from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. A major shakeup is set to impact TV news across the country. Last week, the media company Nexstar announced it received approval to merge with its rival Tegna, giving it control of more than 250 stations in dozens of states. The $6 billion deal was approved by the Department of Justice and Federal Communications Commission, or FCC, which waived rules preventing one company from reaching more than 39% of U.S. households. This new business is expected to reach up to 80% of homes, and that could have ripple effects here in the Sacramento media market, where Nexstar owns Fox 40 and Tegna owns ABC 10. But it's also facing pushback. Governor Gavin Newsom called the deal an outrage and, quote, a consolidation of right-wing media, end quote. California Attorney General Rob Bonta and several other states sued to block the merger a day before it was announced. Bonta said the deal is expected to raise prices, harm local news and consumers, and reduce competition, highlighting Sacramento as an example. And Congresswoman Doris Matsui also criticized federal approval, saying it throws out limits designed to protect local journalism and viewpoint diversity. While the ultimate impact of this deal remains to be seen, what does the law say? Joining us now to talk about this is Professor Frank Gewirtz from McGeorge School of Law. Welcome to Insight.
Good to be here.
So, Professor, the laws at the heart of some of these concerns are federal antitrust laws. For folks who don't have a legal background, what exactly do these do?
Okay, federal antitrust law starts in 1890 with the Sherman Act, which was designed to break up the big monopolies, the trusts, and so on. And in 1914, Congress passed the Clayton Act, which specifically speaks to mergers. And it allows the federal government to essentially block any merger which substantially reduces competition.
And in this case, the merger needed the approval of the Federal Communications Commission, or FCC. How does that review process compare to the regular antitrust process?
The FCC proceeds under a different statute, and its authority is different than the Justice Department in dealing with the antitrust law. So the antitrust law, as I just explained, looks at mergers which reduce competition. And essentially the goal there is to keep prices low for consumers by stopping mergers, say, between competitors that would allow competitors to raise their prices. Notice that's what the California Attorney General focuses on when he talked about the merger, because they're bringing in action focused on the antitrust law. By contrast, the Federal Communication Commission review under the Federal Communications Act deals with the authority of a broadcaster to pass a federally granted license to some other broadcaster, and that's what's going to happen in a merger. And they have a very different standard of review in terms of approving that transfer. And it's what's referred to as a public interest standard. It's going to ask whether that transfer will serve or harm the public interest. Very broad, much broader than the federal antitrust law's focus.
That is very broad and I'm sure open to interpretation. You mentioned California's Attorney General Rob Bonta. He filed a lawsuit last week trying to block this merger in court. He called it illegal, plain and simple, running contrary to federal antitrust laws that protect consumers. What exactly would cause a merger to be illegal?
Okay. Now, as I gave you the general standard, reduce competition. And while mergers between companies that don't compete have under various theories that potential, we don't have to worry about that in this case, because this is a merger between companies that compete. They operate stations like Fox 40 in Sacramento and ABC News in Sacramento, which are local broadcasters that are competing. And so when there's a merger between competitors, well, there's less competition, and thus prices can rise. But that's not always or even often the case. So let's assume, for example, that two lawyers doing personal injury practice in Sacramento were to agree to form a partnership, essentially a merger. Well, they would no longer be competing with each other. But there's so many other attorneys doing personal injury practice in Sacramento that they couldn't really raise prices because suddenly two out of the hundreds, or maybe more, attorneys in this field are no longer competing. On the other hand, if you had at the other extreme, two companies, say two companies that are the only producers of a certain board game, say Park Place Company and Boardwalk Company merge, and suddenly they're the only producer, well, obviously they could raise prices much higher than they were when the two were competing. And so you're trying to figure out whether this merger between these two companies that are operating local TV stations have that effect of enabling them to raise prices because they're no longer competing, or whether it's a situation in which there's so many other choices that they can't raise prices. And so that's the essential, the inquiry that's going to go on.
Professor Gewirtz, we just talked about economics and competition there, but I think people also might be concerned when it comes to this merger about freedom of speech issues and whether this new company might block off access to different voices or news programming. But is that something that antitrust laws consider or look at?
You've asked a very controversial question. Because you're absolutely right. I think the underlying concern is a lot less about how much customers, and that's probably advertisers, are going to have to pay to put a 30-second spot on a local TV show, as opposed to the concern that there's going to be a cutoff of various voices that can no longer reach the public. And in worst case scenario, you end up in something like Russia, where very few independent voices can reach the public because the media outlets are all owned essentially by friends of the government. But the question is that something that the antitrust law can address? And the answer is that's disputed. The conventional view, often associated with something called the Chicago School, is that the sole goal of antitrust law is what's referred to as consumer welfare. Simply put, low prices. And if all we're concerned with is mergers that reduce competition and thus raise prices to consumers, then free speech concerns are not on the table. By contrast, by the way, that's under a general public interest approach, which is under the federal communications law, then that is on the table. And that's why you had the limit on the cap that was violated here on ownership of so many stations. So there are folks out there over the decades who view antitrust goals more broadly to say that we should, under the antitrust law, look at other impacts as firms grow larger, more powerful, including their political impact. But right now, that's a view that is probably not predominant among judges within antitrust.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with law professor Frank Gewirtz about antitrust laws and a recent merger between broadcasting companies Nexstar and Tegna. Professor, I'm wondering if the courts could look at this and say, hey, maybe there are some changes that need to be made to this deal to protect competition in a place like Sacramento, while still letting Nexstar and Tegna merge on the national level?
That's a common response to mergers in which in local markets, there's going to be a reduction in competition that matters and would make the merger illegal. And so in that situation, it's extremely common to say, look, we'll let you conduct this merger if you sell off the operations you have to some independent owner in these few markets in which you are really dominant. So let's assume for a second that it was an unusual case in the merger in which the two companies who proposed to merge have operations in the same broadcast market. Let's assume Sacramento was one of those exceptions. So it's this unusual situation in which the two companies that propose to merge have a major outlook in Sacramento, and that the loss of competition between those two broadcasters in Sacramento would render the merger otherwise illegal. Then there could be a proposal by the Justice Department or the parties involved to say, why don't you sell off to somebody else, say Fox 40 in Sacramento, so we'll still have the competition between independently owned Fox 40 in Sacramento and now owned by the merging parties, ABC News in Sacramento. So you still have competition there, but we'll allow it to go forward because you eliminated the place where the problem exists. But that, of course, would assume, which I don't think is the case here, that this is an unusual situation here where it's you're going to have that kind of problem. And so probably not relevant here, but certainly a possibility in many cases where mergers are allowed because there are just a few markets where there's a problem.
Well, I appreciate your knowledge and experience on this. I want to throw one more scenario at you. We talked about California and the states that have sued to try to block this merger. If they lose in court, is that the end of the line, or could the company be broken up again in the future if there are concerns that emerge that they're monopolizing control?
It would depend, in the first instance, why the states would lose. So if there's a problem with their standing to bring the case at all, you have to have suffered antitrust injury. And in mergers, that's often a problem because the party who brings the suit might be another competitor. And if the merger was really going to raise prices, you would sit there and say, this competitor would not be suing to stop the merger. So we don't think they're actually going to be hurt. If that was the problem, then that would not foreclose somebody else who had an antitrust injury for bringing the suit. Well, on the other hand, if we get to the merits and a court were to find and that be upheld on appeal that there really is no violation of the antitrust law from the merger, well, that would be it as far as the unwinding the merger because it was an illegal merger. That said, there are examples, the Facebook, Instagram merger and so on, where the later conduct of merged companies might create its own violation of the antitrust law, and that would lead a court to consider breaking up a prior merger because of what was done later in terms of how the companies operated once they were merged.
I see. So the a failed lawsuit may not, in fact, be the end of the line, depending on how the company behaves in the future.
Or why the suit failed.
Right.
No,
right.
It didn't the merits. It was standing or something like that.
Last thing for you. Just generally speaking, breaking up companies, is that something that courts like to do? Is it common?
No, they really do not like to break up companies. I mean, you have the famous historical case where they broke up Standard Oil in the early 1900s. But by and large, courts really don't want to do that because you're never quite sure the consequences of breaking up companies.
Frank Gewirtz is a law professor from McGeorge School of Law. Professor, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for inviting me.
We've been talking about the recently approved merger between Nexstar and Tegna, which owns TV news stations here in Sacramento, and how the role of federal antitrust laws could impact this deal. Up next, ready to immerse yourself in the sights and sounds of Yolo County? We'll learn more about the debut of Yolo Fest happening this weekend. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Chris Nichols.